Luke chapter 23, we are turning to that verse once again. We find in verse 46. Luke 23 and 46. Another prayer that came from the lips of the Savior. This time as he hung upon the cross. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Very quickly, let us just refresh our minds from the first part of this message this morning, dealing with the prayer of the dying Savior. We considered this morning the communion of the Savior. The Savior in communion with his Father. For he said, Father, into thy hands. That spoke to us of his relationship, Father and Son. We enjoy that same relationship, Father and children, Father and Son, Father and daughters. We're on the same standing. We can address God as the Lord Jesus addressed him, because we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we can cry, Abba, Father. And the Lord himself has taught us, when we pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven. And then we noted also the restoration of the communion. Because the Lord had already prayed from the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was forsaken of God, not because of anything he did, because of what we did, because of what we had done, and he was bearing our sins and his own body on the tree. And the Father turned away from his Son because of our sins. And the communion was broken for those 3 hours of darkness. But now it is restored again when the Lord Jesus addresses his Father in this way. And then we know that it was a ready communion. That is, he was able to commune with the Lord, with his Father, even under such trying circumstances of being suspended between heaven and earth in agony and great pain. Yet he's able to commune with his Father. And it doesn't matter what our circumstances are, what goes on around us, we can still commune with the Lord as a friend does with a friend. And then we noted also the contentment of Christ. We noted that there was triumph in this prayer. This was, as we have seen, the seventh and final saying, an utterance of the Lord that came from his lips while he hung upon the cross. Seven, as we know, seven is the number of completion. And the saying that came from the lips of the Lord Jesus before he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit, with those words, it is finished. And he said, it is finished, or as we know in the original, it's just one word, finished. When he said, finished, it was then that he prayed, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. I finished all the work that thou hast given me to do. The battle is over. The war is won. Now, I can give up the ghost. Now, I can die. And oh, that we might also die triumphantly, as the Lord Jesus did. Having lived for the Lord, having done the best that we could during our time here on earth. We might say, well, I've failed many times. Indeed, we will say that. We can say it today, how often we've failed the Lord. But if we have at least tried to do the best we can, well, at least we can be content. We noted the timing of his prayer. That is, the Lord Jesus cried with a loud voice and said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. In other words, the Lord Jesus died praying. What a wonderful way to die. What a wonderful way to give up the ghost. With prayer, the words of prayer upon his lips. So we have considered the Savior's communion with his Father. We've considered the Savior's contentment. Now in these words, the Lord Jesus said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. What we have here in this prayer also is the Savior's comfort. For more than 12 hours, the Lord Jesus had been in the hands of cruel men. Of this the Lord Jesus himself had informed his disciples on a previous occasion. For he said, the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men. He'll be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. Matthew 17, verses 22 and 23. And he spoke about this also when he was in Gethsemane, saying to his disciples, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men. Into the hands of sinful men. And be crucified. And the third day rise again, Luke 24, verses 6 and 7. And so with wicked hands, hands of wicked men, the Lord Jesus was put to death. And now, he prays, Father, into thy hand I commend my spirit. For those hours he had been in the hands of sinful men, now he commends his spirit to the hand of the sovereign God. And here you have the sovereign hands into which the Lord Jesus commended his spirit. And what a blessed contrast to what happened to him while he was in the hands of cruel men. But praise the Lord. Never again will he be in the hands of wicked men. Never again will he be at the mercy of cruel hands. Never again will he be put to an open shame by the hands of callous men. Now he commends his spirit to the hand of God. Into the hands of the Father he commits himself. And the Father will now look after his interests. And of course he did. For after he lay those 3 days in the grave, the Father raised him up. And now that tomb is empty. 3 days later, the Father raised his Son from the dead. Now he's seated in glory today, sitting at his Father's right hand, waiting until he shall make his enemies his footstool. Now think of this. The Lord Jesus had given himself over into the hands of cruel men. And they did their worst. They were glad of the opportunity to have Christ in their hands, the one that they hated and despised and rejected and cried out, crucify him, away with him. Now the tables are turned. Because as the Lord will sit and is sitting at the Father's right hand, waiting for the day when he'll make his enemies his footstool, his enemies will then be in his hands. His hands. For once he was in their hands. But the day is coming when they shall be in his. Remember what Paul said of the ungodly? It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It is a fearful thing. And all of Christ's enemies one day will fall into his hands. And it will be up to him to do with them as he will. And of course, if by the time they fall into the hands of the living God, they're not saved. If by that time they fall into his hands, they're still Christ rejectors. What will the Lord do with them then? Those at Calvary said, away with him. And you know what Christ will say to those who fall into his hands, the hands of the living God? You know what he'll say to them? Depart from me. I never knew you. Oh yes, they had cried to him, away with him, crucify him. But now things have changed. And things will change. And those even today who cry, away with him, take your Christ, take your Savior, they will fall into the hands of the living God. And the living God shall say, depart from me. You said to me, away with him. Now I will say to you, depart from me. And it is indeed a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Sovereign hands, the hands of might and power and authority. This was a comfort for Christ, was it not? To know that he was committing his spirit into the hands of a sovereign God. And all who know Christ, when we come to die, will it not be a comfort for us to know that our soul will be in the hands of the living God? But we'll be safe there. What a comfort. We'll not be passing out into the darkness and out into eternity all alone. No, we'll be in the hand of God. That tells us something else. Not only did the Lord Jesus here speak about the sovereign hands of God, but the safe hands of God. See, the Father has never allowed anything that has been in his hands. He has never allowed anything to fall out of his hands. He doesn't let souls slip away out of his hands. Believer, we are in safe hands tonight. And when we come to die, we'll be in safe hands. But we read in John's Gospel, chapter 10, and verse 29, the Lord said, my Father which gave them me, that is, souls, the Father gave them to me. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. Greater than all. So that means no one or nothing, devil, demon or man, or power on earth, or power in hell, can take us out of the hand of God, because he's greater than all. And the Lord goes on to say, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man, and if you're looking at the verse there, the word man is in italics. It's not in the original. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man, you can put in there whatever you want, power in hell, power on earth, devil, demon, shall pluck us out of the Father's hand. Believer, we're safe. We're safe now and we'll be safe then. And the Lord Jesus here says, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. He knew that he was safe in the hands of God. Believer, does this truth not fill us with comfort and peace? Yes, Jordan may be deep. The Jordan of death may be deep and it may be wide. But we're in safe hands. The valley of the shadow of death may be long, may be foreboding. But we're safe in the hands of God. The billows may be high and the winds contrary, but we can say, glory to God, we are in safe hands. And the fiends of hell, the fiends of the underworld, may hover around us before we depart the scene of time. But we need not fear. It'll be all right on that day. Because we're in the hands of God. We're in safe hands. Hallelujah. Does that not fill you with joy? And comfort and peace? To know that you are in the hand of God. How very different it would be for us. We came to die and we were not safe and secure in the hand of God. Remember the Lord said, my Father which gave them me is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of his hand. Pretty sad doctrine that, isn't it? That tells us we can be saved and lost. We can be in God's hands one day and maybe a day later, no, we're no longer in his hands. It's a sad doctrine that. It's a sorry kind of salvation that. No, we're in the hands of God. And he is greater than all and no man, devil or demon, shall pluck us out of his hand. Praise the Lord. And finally in this prayer, we notice the control of Christ. That is, the Lord Jesus was in complete control of what was happening at the hour of his death. He was in complete control. Consider his words, the words of his prayer. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. We know that the Lord Jesus had a full knowledge of the Holy Scriptures. Therefore, he was aware of a verse in the Psalms that needed to be fulfilled before he gave up the ghost. A word that needed to be fulfilled somewhere between when he cried out, "It is finished," and then gave up the ghost. He was aware of the words of David over in Psalm 31, if you care to turn to Psalm 31. And in Psalm 31, Psalm of David, we read in verse 1, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock, for an house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me. For thou art my strength." Verse 5. "Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth." Into thy hand I commit my spirit. Wonder how many of us knew that word was there in Psalm 31 and verse 5. The Lord knew it was there. And the Lord knew that that word had to be fulfilled, that word of prophecy. And so he waits. He does not give up the ghost until this word of prophecy has been fulfilled. And here then we have the words of David, but they are the words of the Son of David. Found away there in the book of Psalms, Psalm 31 verse 5. Just as we have that central saying of the Savior from the cross found in Psalm 22, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" The Lord knew those words were there. And the Lord Jesus fulfilled that word by saying, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." He did not die before those words were spoken. That tells us the Lord was in control of what was taking place. And I want us to understand this as Christ hung on that cross. It wasn't as if his life was ebbing away, as was the case with the two thieves. Their lives were ebbing away. They were getting nearer and nearer to death, and the soldiers came and broke their legs, and the shock was so great that it ended their lives. Christ was different. His life was not ebbing away as he hung on the cross. He was able to hold back death until he said, "Father, into thy hand I commend my spirit." There you have the words of his prayer. Notice also his waiting to pray. This was not a rushed prayer offered by the Lord whose life was ebbing away. No, the Lord Jesus waited. And as we said, held back death until he had uttered these words. For death could not take him until he had uttered these words, until he allowed death to do so. Death could not take Christ. The Lord was in control. Because you see, the Lord Jesus said, and here you have the fulfillment of it. In John chapter 10, the Lord said there in verse 17, Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. Now, whenever we hear of some of our brave men and women who've been killed in Afghanistan, we talk about those soldiers, and they've laid down their lives. That we might enjoy freedom and liberty today. They've laid down their lives, and it says the same here about Christ, or Christ says the same about himself, because I laid down my life that I may take it again. But look at the next verse. For the next verse says, no man taketh it from me. We use the illustration of our soldiers. And they're out in Afghanistan. And the Taliban, whom they're fighting, has blown up some of our soldiers. The Taliban took the lives of our soldiers. Christ says, no man taketh my life from me. No man. That tells us that Christ was in control. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. The Lord's was in complete control of his life. The Lord was in complete control of his death. No man took the Lord's life from him. Because Christ laid it down, listen, of himself. And he had power to lay it down. And he had power to take it again. He's in control. And he waited and waited and waited. Until he prayed this prayer and said these words. Father, into thy hand I commend my spirit. And when he had said thus, he gave it up. See, it wasn't taken from him. He gave it up. He gave up the ghost. We're not in control of our lives. We're not in control of our deaths either. Our times are in thy hands. My God, I wish them there. My life, my friends, my soul, I leave entirely in thy care. My times are in thy hands. I'll always trust in thee. And after death, at thy right hand, I shall forever be. You see, the Lord has set the time. The Lord set the time of his own death. No man took it from him. And you know something? The Lord has set the time of your death and of mine. And we'll not go 1 second beyond that time, that appointed hour, when the Lord says, come up higher. There'll nothing be able to keep us here. Finally, I want you to notice the way he prayed. The way he prayed. Look again at verse 46. Read all of the verse once more. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. And when Jesus, listen, had cried with a loud voice. That's the way he prayed. He prayed with a loud voice. There are three occasions recorded in the Gospels that tells us that the Lord Jesus cried with a loud voice just three times. We have this reference here. And we're also told in Matthew 27:46, again referring to that central cry, and about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice. And it's important to note that. That there he is in the middle of his sufferings. And he cries with a loud voice, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Comes to near the end of his sufferings and he cries with a loud voice. But there's one other occasion when he cried with a loud voice. It's found over in John 11 and verse 43. He cried with a loud voice. For it says, and when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Three times. What does this mean? What does this prove? What does this teach us? It certainly teaches us the Lord was in control. We said his life was not ebbing away. He laid down his life. It was not taken from him. He stood that day in the tomb of Lazarus and cried with a loud voice. He's now on the cross, and on two occasions he cried with a loud voice. You know what that tells me? It tells me Christ was as strong hanging on the cross as he was when he stood before the tomb of Lazarus. This is a very different picture to what the Church of Rome paints of the dying Savior. We've all seen those statues and crucifixes and paintings and all the rest of it. And there you have a Savior with his head hanging on his shoulders. The Lord Jesus, throughout his sufferings, always held his head upright. Because we're told, one of the other Gospels, that when he came to die, it says he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. See what I mean? He was a strong on the cross, at the end of his sufferings, as he was the day that he stood at the tomb of Lazarus. This is the Christ of the Bible. It's not the Christ of man's imagination. It's amazing what people say about the Lord Jesus. There's nothing, no evidence or proof of what they say in the Scriptures. Talk about the Lord stumbling on the way to Calvary. He didn't stumble at all. The Bible doesn't say that. You have the picture of Christ there hanging, with his head hanging, as I said, lying on his shoulder. As if he hasn't the strength to hold it up. He held it up until the moment of his death. He held his head high because he was victorious. He was the all-conquering Savior. Praise his name. He waited for that moment that he decided to give up the ghost. Not when the angry mob decided. Not even when the soldiers decided. Christ decided. It was then that he gave up the ghost. When he laid down his life, he laid it down. Again, remember the words of the Savior. No man taketh it from me. But I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. The word power is the word authority. I have the authority to lay it down. And I have the authority to take it up again. In other words, we read here that Christ was all powerful and had the authority over death. Death did not have the authority over him. Christ had authority over death. That is why. Wherever the Lord Jesus came face to face with death, Christ was always victorious. He was asked to go to the home of Jairus. And there in that home, he was led into the room where their 12-year-old child daughter was lying dead. Could Christ walk out of that room and that child not live again? Impossible. Because Christ has authority over death. And we know that he raised Lazarus' daughter to life again. He's victorious, you see. And then one day a great multitude was following him, and they came by the gates of the city of Nain. And there a poor widow woman was coming out, following the coffin that contained her only son. The two great processions met. Could Christ bypass that coffin and that young man not live? Impossible. Christ must be victorious. He has the authority. And he touched the barn and raised up the son. And he stood at the grave of Lazarus. And as has often been pointed out, it's as well the Lord said, Lazarus, come forth. For if the Lord Jesus had said, come forth, everyone in that graveyard would have risen up. That's why he said, Lazarus, come forth. See, he's in control. He was in control of his life and in control of his death. And I'll add something else. Those two thieves that hung one on either side of him could not die before Christ died. Christ must die first. Because Christ remaining alive would have kept those two soldiers or those two thieves alive. Death could not be victorious in the presence of Christ. And so Christ had to die first. And when the soldiers came to break his legs, as we know, he was dead already. He had given up the ghost. What a tremendous prayer this is. And I can assure you that there's much more to be gleaned from this verse and from this prayer. But I trust we have learned something tonight. Something that will rejoice our hearts about the Lord. Cause us to rejoice in the Lord. I'll go home tonight rejoicing in Christ. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, only then did he give up the ghost. He laid down his life. And we ought to honor and glorify him. He laid down his life for us. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our loving and gracious God, we give thee thanks for thy Son. Oh, how it warms our hearts to consider the Lord Christ of Calvary. How, Lord, the study of this particular prayer is such a blessing to my own soul. And, oh, Lord, I thank thee. Father, I thank thee for giving thy Son to die for me on the cross. I thank thee for all that I personally learned from the study of this verse and this prayer. Lord, make us all ready students of the word. That, Lord, we'll get into its depths. And there we'll find waters deep enough to swim in. Lord, write this word upon our hearts tonight. May indeed we go home rejoicing in Christ. Rejoicing in our Redeemer. Oh, Lord, if the joy has gone, restore it to us. Oh, Lord, if the zeal has gone, restore it to us. That we'll be zealous and joyous for the Lord and the things of God. Bless the week of prayer. Give us a sweet time of fellowship with thyself each night. Be with us, Lord, now as we leave the house of God. Grant traveling mercy, Lord, to one and all.